To most people, microorganisms of any sort are synonymous with disease, but that's not always the case. Some microorganisms actually help people and animals by performing vital nutritional functions for them inside the body. On this edition of The Graduate School Presents, John Bresnak, Associate Professor in the Department of Microbiology and Public Health, discusses research into this symbiotic relationship.
My research project deals with trying to understand the role of intestinal microorganisms in the nutrition of an animal. And as a model system, we're studying the termite and its relationship with its intestinal microorganisms. And the reason we're choosing the termite, or we have chosen the termite for study, is because in the termite we have an animal that has a fairly narrow and defined dietary regime. Its primary food source is wood or other kinds of cellulosic material. And despite the fact that the animal eats wood, it can't digest wood appreciably without the activity, the biochemical activity of its gut microorganisms.
This particular type of constructive relationship between microorganisms and their animal hosts is called a mutualistic one.
The insect provides the intestinal organisms with a enlarged region of the hindgut, which acts as a fermentation chamber, so it provides the organisms with a place to grow and a place to live and a place to carry out their fermentative activities. And it also supplies the organisms with a constant supply of food, with wood particles, which are macerated in the mouth parts and then passed on to the hindgut. In turn, the hindgut organisms degrade wood material, primarily the polysaccharides in wood, which are cellulose and hemicelluloses, to small molecular weight nutrients, particularly organic acids, such as acetic acid, which is like vinegar, which the insect then absorbs from the hindgut and then uses that as a fuel source, much as in the same way that human beings can oxidize or metabolize acetic acid and other small molecular weight compounds for energy and for carbon.
While the importance of this type of relationship is well known, many of its exact functions are not.
It's known that most animals, whatever animals one chooses to look at, most will harbor some kinds of microorganisms in their alimentary tract, and the number of microorganisms is usually large. For example, in the human animal, the large intestine harbors a very diverse population of bacteria, and the actual number of bacterial cells in the large bowel or the large intestine actually outnumbers human body cells by about 10 times. So they're actually 10-fold greater bacterial cells than there are human body cells. Yet we have very little idea of what the bacteria are doing for us nutritionally.
The research in progress is attempting to isolate the many different microorganisms within us and the different jobs they do for us.
In other mammalian model systems, such as rats and mice, these animals can be reared germ-free, such that they contain no microorganisms in their intestinal tract at all. And their reproductive performance is fairly good. They can grow pretty well. But the animals, in many cases, are unusual. For example, in animals which possess a cecum, which is a portion of the intestinal tract, if the animals are reared germ-free, the cecum swells dramatically and enlarges dramatically. Also in germ-free animals, the regeneration of epithelial cells, which are constantly being regenerated, is markedly prolonged. Also, certain enzymes that are present in the digestive tract that are secreted by the intestinal cells are changed not only in their molecular structure, but in the amounts that are produced. So yet while we have a good notion of what kinds of changes occur in an animal when its normal intestinal flora is removed, we really don't have a good idea of what the cause and effect relationships are. We don't know why these things happen, but we know that an animal is distinctly different when it's germ-free as opposed to when it's, say, colonized by its normal intestinal microflora.
John Bresnak, Associate Professor in the Department of Microbiology and Public Health, on this edition of The Graduate School Presents. For the Michigan State University Tape Network, this has been John Nielsen.